Blog Talk Radio.
I was standing in the pouring rain one dark November night, fighting off the bitter cold when she caught my eye. Her face was taut and her eyes were filled. Then to my surprise, she pulled out a photograph and my heart just stopped inside. She said, "He would have been three today. I miss his smile, I miss his face. What was I supposed to say?" But I believe always, always, our Savior never fails. Even when all hope is gone, God knows our pain, and his promise remains, he will be with you always. He was living in a broken world, dreaming of a home. His heart was barely keeping pace when I found him alone, remembering the way he felt when his daddy said goodbye, fighting just to keep the tears and the anger locked inside. He's barely holding on to faith, but deliverance is on its way. 'Cause I believe, oh, promise remains, he
Hi. Welcome to your place. This is Starla. I'm Wild Bill's wife, and I'm going to be filling in for Joy for the next few weeks. We really appreciate you all being here. And without further ado, here's Wild Bill.
Hello, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well tonight. That's kind of a long song, but it's a beautiful song. Our topic tonight is, why does God allow bad things to happen? And one of the things that you hear a lot of people who don't believe in God say is, if there is a God, why would he allow all the things that happen in this world? And the things they talk about is, you know, we have the tornadoes and hurricanes and tsunamis, and we have famine in the land. We have, you know, birth defects, illness, disease, you know, all these things that come against us. And then we also have the evil of man, what humanity will do to humanity, to mix into the mix. And so a lot of people say, if there is an almighty, all-powerful God, why would he allow these things to be? And it's one of those things that, you know, we have to remember, we live in a very, very real world where there's a lot of people hurting. You can kind of tell I've got a little bit of the flu bug going on right now, and you know, it's just a minor thing compared to other people's issues. And I can understand, you know, the people that, you know, have good jobs and all of a sudden they're having to work two jobs and still making less than what they did before because of the economy. And we've got people that, you know, my family, my son had a daughter that was born with a birth defect, and how that, you know, you get to wondering, you know, what have I done wrong? Why are these things happening? And then I've witnessed where tornadoes have came through and blown out through a town and destroyed huge churches that were known for doing work in the community. And you're just like, wow, why can this happen? And, you know, it's one of those things you can, like, oversimplify. So you got to be very careful on what you, you know, say and do with it. But you're going to be getting a lot of background there from something. But I kind of wondered what everybody else thought about, you know, we have a lot of people of faith that listen to this blog talk show. And anyone that has a comment that they would like to insert something in, all you got to do is push the number 1 on your keypad, and that will come up. Or you can, if you're in the chat room, put your information in there, and then we can, you know, someone can read it for you. Joy is still with us tonight, even though this is going to be her last show for about 5 or 6 months. Joy, do you have any comments to make on this topic?
Hopefully I will be able to call in some on the next week. So, Starla, you did a really good job. I appreciate you being willing to jump in there with us. I do know that this is an issue that is really hard on a lot of people. I have a friend who has some family members who have cancer, and she just doesn't understand, because they're like the most wonderful people in the world, why it would happen to them. But for me, I do think that you're right that this world is real, but it's also an illusion, and I think that there is a bigger plan. We just don't understand what it is, and hardship is going to come to all of us, challenges are going to come to all of us. It's how we deal with it. That's the reason that we're here.
Yeah.
And that you just have to have trust that there is a master plan, and keep doing what you can. How's that for my big, deep input?
Well, I do think that sometimes, you know, the way we look at this world, it is sort of an illusion. I mean, we have, you know, we think we understand everything, and I know from, you know, living here in the United States and having a family that's from outside the United States, that we want to judge everything, whether it's history, the Bible, whatever, from our viewpoint. And that sort of reminds me of something that happened the other day. I had a buddy call me up, and he was talking about these soldiers that were killed in Afghanistan. And he was so upset, you know, because the president was in Chicago working on something to try to get the Olympics there. And so, you know, in his mind, the president, if he'd been doing his job, these people wouldn't have died. And it sort of depends on what side you're looking on as to how you look at things. If you're pro-Republican, you go like, yeah, he should have been at the Oval Office and sitting there with, you know, the chief of staff's on the phone, and, you know, with NATO and everything, and, you know, really going in there and kicking butt and taking names to get this all taken care of. But in truth, you know, and then the other side of that is we've seen things happen with President Bush when he was in office, while the Democrats were like, yeah, what was he doing in that schoolroom, you know, after the first plane hit and everything? Why didn't he jump up and go and do something? And so it's clear that whatever side you're on, you can twist things to try to fit your own little universe as to who's at fault and why things happen. And as a people, we seem to always want to place blame. I know that if I do something wrong, it has to be somebody else's fault because I just don't make mistakes. So it has to be, you know, either the way I was brought up, or has to be something to do with, you know, my wife was mean to me today, or, you know, one of the kids did something, or the planets aligned against me. It couldn't be that I just made a mistake. I remember Dad had this, I had this magnet Dad got so tickled with, and it said, I never make mistakes, and mistakes was misspelled. Dad's like, yeah, that's you right there. And I'm like, yep. At the time, I didn't understand what he's saying, but as you get older, you sort of do understand. One of the things that really hits home on this, but it's such a broad picture, and it sounds like we're trying to be so condescending to people who are not of faith, is that when we say that it is because of the curse of sin that all these things exist. And, you know, when you look at things in the Garden of Eden, there was no death, was no illness. But basically, you know, I think tending to the garden pretty much came with going out there and picking the produce when it was ready to pick and eating it. You know, it didn't, there was no weeds, there was no thistles, there was no thorns. You know, it even let us know that there was even no pain in childbearing. You know, that all came from the curse of sin. And that was man's choice to do that. But then you say, well, why would an all-knowing God give them that choice? And just because those people messed up, why do we have to suffer? I can almost hear a comedian right now like, yeah, I didn't eat no apple. You know, you know, why do I have to suffer for what those people did and everything? And that's where it gets really complex when you get to looking at the what you're saying when you say that it's the curse of sin that's caused all these things to be unnatural from what God intended them to be. And you also have to look at that God created us. I mean, if we, you know, I can make paper dolls, and I can take paper mache and Play-Doh, and I can make little things. And I've even played computer games to where I make little characters that, you know, they go down and they do different tasks, and they gain experience points, and they age, and they learn, and they gather stuff as they go, kind of like, you know, little lives. And so you sort of get feeling responsible for them. If you go in there and you open the door and there's something big and bad in there, and you take them in and they're getting slaughtered. I remember I had a game where I could do that. And I used to turn the computer off so my people wouldn't be dead, you know, and, you know, to try to reset everything before it actually locked into the hard drive so that my people still existed. And, you know, when you're looking at an almighty God, he has my computer characters. They can do what I tell them to do, but there is no really relationship. You know, I can task them to do things and they have to do what I say, but there is no relationship there. There is no love. There is no compassion, really, other than what sympathy I have for when I make a bad action and what I've gotten invested in them. And yet you look at God, and he said that he wanted us to have free will, knowing we were going to make mistakes, knowing that there was going to be a process. And as Joy said, it is an illusion in some ways what we live in this world, because we look at someone who lives 100 years as a long life. You know, and that's a long time. But I'm here to tell you, as you get older, I used to hear people say this, like, man, that's just crazy. You know, I'm 17 years old. You know, I've only been on this earth 17 years, and I've been driving a car now for about, you know, 6 months. And I, woohoo, you know, I got a long way to go to get to 100. If I live to be 50, man, I'll be old. You know, I just, you know, you have this illusion, and it changes as more things input, more experience into your life. And I don't want to downplay things to the people that are hurting, but I can't see anything more than it being the curse of sin that has caused everything to be like this is. And I've talked to different people, and I'm hoping some of them call in that have some different viewpoints on this. My cousin was one, And I sent him a text today. I didn't know if he was going to be part of the show or not. But, you know, does anybody else have any input as to what they feel is the reason that things are like they are? Nothing there from Starla or Joy? No hands up, you guys?
Starla, do you see the hand? We're trying to help Starla. She's doing a lot of catching up for Anne. She's having computer problems. Can you see the hand on caller number 3, Starla? I'm afraid Starla's muted herself or something. Okay, well, we have Blog Talk Mom in season always, and she's ready to give us some input.
Excuse my voice. I'm sympathizing with everybody that's sick, I guess. I like what's been said. I'm really, really thankful for this program. I enjoy the family. It's very, very enjoyable. There is a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13:12 that says, "For now we see through a glass darkly." And Joyce, what you were talking about, that, you know, we don't see the whole picture. But there will be a time, face to face, he says, "But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." And there's a lot of consolation in that scripture. I think Billy Graham mentioned in one of his sermons about suffering, he said his grandmother used to make quilts, and as a little boy he just couldn't figure out, he'd be down there playing underneath the quilting frame, and he'd see all of the, it just looked like a mess to him. But when it was all finished, it was a beautiful, beautiful quilt.
I love that analogy.
It and Corrie Ten Boom used that when she was preaching. She held up a piece of embroidery that with all the strings hanging out, it looked ridiculous. But when she turned it over, it was a crown. And I love that. You know, that's our hope. We have a blessed hope. It talks about faith, hope, and charity, but our hope is so much more real, just an emotion that we can have hope that all things. I love that Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And that's such a great consolation to know that our suffering is part of that also. That it refines us, it brings us to God in a way that nothing else can, and it helps us to reveal God in our lives. I don't think anything makes us more real to other people than for them to see us suffer and be able to maintain our faith in God to bring us through.
That's good. My cousin, Little Bill, when he called in, he was kind of paraphrasing the scripture, but he said something about that the way he looked at it was that Satan was given dominion over this world for this period of time, and I was hoping to be able to look and see if I could actually find a scripture on that, and I was hoping he would call in with what that was he was talking about. But do you see anything on that, Blog Talk Mom?
Well, the way that I look at it is that Adam and Eve committed high treason in the garden, and they gave that authority to Satan. Satan couldn't get it. He has a boundary that he can't cross. If God has all power, then, you know, He has all power. But mankind, through his choices, you know, I heard a story the other day by Max Lucado. It said, when did the path to Calvary begin for Jesus? And it began at the same moment that they was crunching the fruit in the garden. You know, when flesh was totally rebelling against the commandment of God and enjoying it, Jesus already was on his way to Calvary to suffer in a way that we can't even. The Bible says his visage was marred more than anyone. There is no one that has ever suffered like Christ did, and no one that was sinless but him. And as the scripture said, he could have called legions of angels to take him from that cross, but he chose stay there for you and for me. And our suffering, when we suffer, if we bring that to him, then there's that really that's the secret place of the Most High, I have found, because it makes me real. And it shows me what's available from the Lord if I will just wait on Him.
Yeah, I like the way Joy phrases a lot of this, you know, with the saying is, you know, we all have a different path to walk. And but we're all going, you know, we got a choice of places to go. But God kind of takes us through, you know, different things. I know I used to look at the children of Israel after wandering in the desert for 40 years. I'm like, man, how in the world, you know, they got let out of bondage. They saw all these miracles happen. The plagues came in, you know, whether the water was a huge roaring river or it was a narrow stream, as different people try to say, whatever it was, God took that water and drowned and destroyed the army of Pharaoh and, you know, just pretty much blotted them out. You know, how did they get to going to where they were, to murmuring and complaining about the things of God and looking for something else to worship? And, you know, then I get to looking at my life and I'm like, wow, how did I get here again? You know, I just, that's part of flesh. It seems like, I remember when I was a little boy, this man in our church named Harold Meredith took us rabbit hunting. He had beagles. And I had never been rabbit hunting with dogs. But what happens is a dog jumps the rabbit, and you stand still, and the rabbit tries to confuse the dogs. He circles back around to hit his trail again, and then he'll go up it and veer off. And, what you know, when you're the hunter, you wait for him to come back around. And so I think sometimes that Satan uses different things to push our buttons, and because we don't let everything go, you know, we try to carry things on our own, then we end up right back here in front of his guns again. Excuse me. One of the things, you know, in looking at sin, you know, it can attack flesh. It can attack, you know, how we think. It can attack our demeanor and everything. But the one thing sin cannot do, and like I love what Blog Top Mom said, is that we have to make the choice to allow sin to come between us and God. If we don't do that, the Bible makes it clear that there's no power known that could come between us and God. But yet sin can come against us through illness. It can come against us through anything, any kind of test. But what's really great about when you have faith in God is, and I'm talking about really having faith in God, and I can tell you as a person who's, you know, been trying to walk for God for a while now, I find myself a lot of times saying, well, I'm letting something go. I'm turning it over to God. But the whole time, I've never let go of it. I've got both fists wrapped up in that just as tight as I can in the situation, trying to figure out a way to fix it, trying to figure out a way to make things better, trying to figure out a way to make sure that things work out the best for me. And yet, if I would just let it go, and I think I shared this with Joy. I went through a thing here a while back, and I was really praying about stuff, and we were doing the top 10. And, you know, I really, you know, I just had like this picture. It felt like God put in my mind to show me. There was many times I felt like I've got to the end of my rope, and I tied a knot in it, and I've hung on. I'm just hanging there. And, you know, God just kind of let me see that if I just would have let go, that his hand was right up underneath me the whole time. It wouldn't have been a fall. It would have just went right into his hand to where he could have carried me through. And so one of the things when you get to looking at the principles of why bad things happen, you get to looking at, well, what can I do to make them better? You know, are we just stuck in this world where these bad things are going to happen? And the Bible makes it clear that it rains on the just and the unjust. You know, I don't think that you can say, wow, that church must have been really bad because that tornado came and blew away their church. And yet you might hear the people in the church say, woohoo, we were fixing to do a building program, and now the insurance is going to build us a new church. You know, we don't know. You know, we see things and we want to make judgments and look out there. And, you know, you might see someone that has a family member that was born with a birth defect, and you can say, wow, they must have done something really bad wrong. But deep down, I think all of us know that this is really not true.
I think you're onto something very important there, because it gets kind of back to another point you made earlier about looking for someone to blame, I think we feel a little bit safer if we can look at, well, there's some reason why that person deserved that. And that's a very dangerous thing to do, because the point is how we handle whatever comes to our life. Good and bad things are going to come into everyone's life, and it's how you handle it. To bring up Job, though God slay me, yet I trust him. When you've prayed and you've turned it over to God or whatever, you know, you've done your part. I don't mean that you just sit there and don't do anything. Then whatever presents itself, you have to accept. A long time ago, and I've probably shared it with both of you guys, but there was a sermon at our church where the person talked about trust in the process, that it, just because it doesn't look exactly like what you think is right for you doesn't mean that it's not. And if you really trust God, then you have to just release and give in to whatever it is that's going on and believe and have that faith that it's ultimately going to be for your good, that he is in control.
Yeah. It's kind of like the thing with Dad. I don't know about, I think I was more judgmental probably than you were, but there were certain expectations I had of what I wanted to see happen at the end of his life and his relationship with God. But what happened is, as I realized it here, is we want to judge every aspect of other people's lives. I don't know what, where we get off thinking that we have the right to dictate what's going to go on between God and somebody else, but we do. And it really hit me when I saw that, to realize that the relationship they had was based on who Dad was and his relationship with God and his faith, and it had nothing to do with me at all. But yet it was so easy at the beginning. You know, I wanted to see him. I don't know what I really want. I think I had this image in my head from even back as a little boy, what I wanted to see of Dad, you know, in church. So what I ended up seeing was is that it was miraculous to me to realize right there in front of my eyes, which brings us up. It was just Dad's birthday here on the 11th, and so it kind of always brings him back, you know, right to the forefront of our memory.
Happy birthday, Poppy.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's a very, very personal thing. And yet, you know, especially in the Pentecostal churches sometimes, and I've talked to a Blog Talk Mom about this before, it seems like we try to set up everything on performance. You know, what I do, you know what I say and how high I jump, and, you know, did they shout during this service? Well, if they didn't, are they backslid? You know, and it might be something where God was working in a deep way with them. You know, we don't know, but it's so easy for us to want to judge. I will turn that around and say something else, though. If you've ever been on a platform in a church service, spiritual, the people on the platform, if they're really sensitive to the flow of the Spirit, they can tell you, they can look out there and they can see everyone in the audience has got something wrong going on in their life. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you firsthand, you can tell. Different people say they see different things, but it's, to me it's like a dark cloud that I see over people's faces when they're out there and something has come between them and God, where they're just out of sync. And that's one thing that sin will do with the Christian. And I don't know how we come up with our title of saying we're a Christian or not a Christian, because it's a walk that we're striving to live. But what happens is that sin can only come in, like I said before, if we allow it, but it will separate us from God. It will separate us from his blessings. It will separate us from his mercy. It will separate us from his love. It will separate us from growth in our relationship. And so that's one of the things that we got to be very, very cautious of. Matter of fact, I've even considered us doing a second part on this program here to discuss what is sin. Because it's so simple to say, well, we can look at the Ten Commandments. We can look at, you know, the things in the Bible where it says not to do, you know, the different laws that were given and things beyond the Ten Commandments. And we can say, you know, to disobey those is sin. But, you know, I think it is a much more personal thing than that right there, too. I think that is a foundation to work from to start with. But and do you have any comments on that, Blog Talk Mom?
Well, everything, you know, seems to agree together. And I was thinking of that scripture of we have not a high priest that cannot be moved with the feeling of our infirmity. And he knows every way that we are we're tempted. And I know, like you were talking about in the service, you can go to church sometimes, and like David said, you feel like you could run through a troop and leap over a wall. And then you go one time and you feel like you tripped on something and the wall fell on top of you. You know, I mean, because that's feelings and emotions. But the suffering part, when it seems like it brings out a wisdom and a presence of God that the other, that goes more into the spiritual man and bypasses our desire to control everything. You know, we want to...
The illusion that we can control, that we are ever controlling anything. When things go wrong, you realize that that's been an illusion all along.
And only things going wrong seems to clarify that to me, you know. Does that make sense? I mean, it seems like when you hit that wall and you do go into suffering, then it just does something. It just clarifies the all of this other self wanting to just figure things out and judge other people and put people in little boxes and... I tell you what it does for me. It stops me from being religious, and it makes me real. It puts me in a real relationship with God. More, the relationship begins to surface through just the rules and regulations, and which I believe in those too. But the one is far superior. There was a scripture in Hebrews that said, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." And I think that for the Lord himself to be willing to suffer those kind of things, to be so that we could be, you know, like our suffering is one thing, and then his suffering just comes over in the scriptures where he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. That fellowship of his suffering is something that's hard to really describe.
Yeah, for me, the trials and tribulations, what it does is it shakes my foundations to let me look and see what I'm trying to ground myself to. You know, when you got a really good job, it's, you know, paying really good money, then all of a sudden, if you're not careful, that becomes your foundation. You lean on that. And I heard a preacher put it one time that we become more obsessed with the blessing instead of the blesser.
Oh, yeah.
And now we can lean on
people.
And
we do think we have something to do with it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
right.
It will hit you wherever that is. Like for me, it was parenting. Wherever that really cocky, I've got this area is right where you're going to get knocked down. And I think it's a good thing. I think it's a beautiful thing.
It don't seem like it at the time.
Mm-mm.
It's the love of
not
God.
Fun.
That's what's so surprising, that it's the thing of love. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's just the love past anything we can comprehend.
Yeah. Well, like
and
you
that's
were
where the
about.
Trust comes in. That trust that no matter that speaks to the point that I made earlier about
right. Whatever
it is you see. If you can relax and quit resisting it, and really trust even at that point. That it's exactly as it should be, or it wouldn't be there, then you get deeper and deeper with your faith.
Well, like Bob was talking about, you know, like right now there's 20 million kids that died today from hunger. And part of you like, oh, man, that's awful. You know, we should look to do something on that. And, you know, there's the famine and everything that's over there. And, you know, I don't know if anything really can be done more than what's being done. But when you look at big picture to realize that all these kids that are dying, where are they now? You know, that was their struggle. That was what they had to go through. You know,
but that is a good point, too, because at the same time that we do let go and we do understand there's a bigger picture, it doesn't mean that we aren't called to action. And I've heard several exciting things, and here's my chance to bring up President Obama. But I think that, like, a lot of people are upset that he got the Nobel Peace Prize, and he even said that he didn't feel that he deserved it, and he was going to take it as a call. He was humbly accepting it as a call to action. He gave the prize money away. But the inspiration, I believe that what the Nobel Peace Committee was trying to acknowledge was this feeling of hope and this feeling that we really don't have to have anybody hungry on the planet. If we all really get focused on what we say matters, there really is enough for everyone. We've got to shake the very foundation of the way we've all been thinking and do things differently. And I heard somebody on Charlie Rose, I can't remember the man's name, but he was saying that there's absolutely no reason for anybody to be hungry at all. And they're on a plan now to get it all taken care of. And if one of us is hungry, I really believe in that whole, oh, Mom, I wish I could remember that quote because it's from a Jewish person, so you would like it. But what happens to one of us on this planet happens to all of us. We're all diminished by anything that happens. If there's one hungry child, it brings us all down. And we do have to have an awareness of what we can do and how we can think differently. And there are numbers that are really staggering about the percentage of America in the whole population of the world and then the percentage of what we consume. And we don't even need a lot of what we consume. And we would be happier doing the right thing. And, you know, it's just like there's never really been a plan there for us to understand what we can do and how we can empower ourselves to actually make a difference, but we can. And the more we all get centered on what matters, the more we all get quiet and pay attention to what matters, all these things can be handled. And I think that that's a test of humanity, how we treat the least of these, if we just turn our back on situations. But there's been so many things, like you just are afraid to give your money to anybody, because I think, while Bill, you and I have talked about how everyone gave so much money and cared so much about Katrina, but then those people are all still homeless. Somehow it was not going to where it needed to be. So you just think, and you just keep struggling in your own little, trying to pay your own bills and do what you can do. But, you know, to just stay surviving yourself, which is important, having responsibility for yourself. But on the global scale, I think we can do a lot better, and we're all going to be a lot happier when we get to that point. And I think that change is in the air. I'm very excited about everything that's going on in the world right now.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, I like what the governments are trying to do, but as far as the people, I hope and pray that people will humble themselves and seek God's face and repent of sin and look to do things different. But it's so, we have become so hardened to, well, to use for an example, I got, you know, I've shared this before about my buddy Jack Caldwell. We would stay out sometimes 2 or 3 weeks at a time on the road. And he is an older generation. He is a generation to where, you know, you thought about your neighbors and your brothers and stuff. And we'd come in and he noticed the grass was high across the street when he came home. And, you know, he'd ask somebody what happened. They said, well, so-and-so broke his leg. And so here he's been gone for these 2 or 3 weeks. We're only home for 3 or 4 days. He goes out and mows his neighbor yard. He hears that the old lady at the end of the street is sick and shut in, and he makes her a pot roast and goes in. The mentality then was is that, you know, we sort of watched out for each other. You know, we were all in, you know, they grew up during the Depression and, you know, World War, the things from World War II where everything was rationed. You know, we were doing it to support our troops and our soldiers and our country. You know, there were people doing war bonds and savings bonds and stamps in the schools, and all those programs were there. People cared. And it's to the point that everybody, including corporate America, cared. I've been listening to a lot of this old radio things. And the thing is that they just do not care. It's all about the almighty dollar. And that's one of the things I think is really slamming our current president, is because the people with money hate some of the things that he stands for. They hate the idea of their tax dollars going out to pay for these things, these programs and issues and things. And they're saying, you know, well, I don't think we should pay for it. The people go out there, if they don't work, they don't eat. You know, that kind of mentality. They don't realize.
Very ironic that so much of it comes from the Christian community. I heard, again, it was, I think, on Charlie Rose, that somebody was saying that this president actually talks about spiritual issues and moral issues, and wants to do things that are based on Christian principles, but then he gets a lot of flack from the Christian community. But I think the Christian community is responding to abortion and things like that. That's not the same thing as what you're talking about with the entrenched power, that they just don't want to see anything change because they're just consumed with greed. that you know, a hole that never gets filled up in them, to just get more and more and more, and they don't want to see anything change because they want that power. And that's not the Christian community.
No, it, you know, but like corporate America, I mean, we've seen how many of our jobs go to foreign countries, you know, over the last 8 to 10 years. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I haul product. I know the different car parts and things, and, you know, the automotive jobs that were good-paying jobs that were here that are now coming from China and, you know, from Mexico and things like this that used to be here. And it's, and you're like, you know, why did they do that? Well, they can, you know, pay those guys half the labor cost to do it, and even with shipping costs, and, you know, they don't have any benefits down there. Then so it makes everything, you know, better for the profits, for the stockholders and all. But when you get to looking at what you said before, when you diminish one, what you're not realizing is you diminish everybody.
Right.
And why does it matter? You know, people looked at the automotive makers as to what they had as far as benefits. And, you know, they're griping about that's part of the problem. Well, yeah, the automotive companies in this country have been here for a long time. So those people are now reaping their retirement. They're reaping their insurance benefits, where the foreign companies like Nissan and Toyota, they've not been here as long, so they haven't had to pay into their retirement programs and things because they've had less people retire. So, yeah, when you get to looking up, like, why can they do it for less? Well, that's the reason why. You know, you got less people in their retirement. You know, it's just, but it all has to do with how people look at it. If you're an automotive worker, you're concerned with what's going on right now with all the jobs being shipped out. If you're a person looking to buy a car, you're like, I just want the cheapest car I can get. We all sort of contribute to the whole mindset of what's going on right now. We don't have cars like they used to have that you could sit there and run into a telephone pole and the telephone pole would fall down and the car looked like it didn't have a dent in it. Now you hit a car with a telephone pole, the car's tore up all the way back to the front seat. I mean, you know, they had real steel, it was heavy-duty frames, and, you know, with cars and before. But, you know, and now everything is fiberglass and plastic, and same thing with furniture. You know, you used to get this real expensive wood furniture that had quality to it that you could keep for generations. Now you get it, and the bottom of the drawers is some kind of paperboard or something, cardboard, with a wood covering over it or something with, you know, things. It has to do with our entire mindset, and that's one of the things that really, really scares me when you get to talking about why does God allow bad things to happen, because I think that's what Mom was sitting on there is a reason why. We need our foundation shook to really look at things, and then when you really get to realizing I really don't have the power to affect the things I think I can affect, then that's where the opportunity is. It's like, wow, I need God. I need something else. I need a hope in something beyond what I have here. And that's one of the things, the reason I picked that song, because no matter what, I have an assurance that always my God is there. No matter how low I feel, or no matter how sick I am, no matter if I'm on my deathbed, no matter if I've lost loved ones, no matter if illness comes to family members or something, I have an assurance and a confidence that my God is always there. I can't always trust in my government. It don't matter who's in power and how you look at things. I can tell you that I know my God is always there. You can look at the issues of the things we were talking about famine and everything. You can know that God is there to realize that those children that may have only had 3 or 4 years on this world before they died of hunger, to know that right now they're with Him in a life that we can only think that we understand what it's going to be like, where there is no pain, no suffering, no sin to contend with, no temptation, no Satan sitting up there nipping at our heels trying to bring up things from our past to accuse us of mistakes that we've made. You know, no traps of anything being laid before me where I feel like I'm going through a minefield, where I feel like, wow, I'm really strong on this issue right here. And all of a sudden, something comes up out of left field, and you're like, wow, I can't believe I was tempted by this right here. I thought I was strong on that. And it's just, it's part of the process of this world that we're involved with. And sin is what came in, and I think that's the bottom line. Man had a choice. They fell. It was both Adam and Eve. It wasn't just Eve. They both partook. They were both kicked out of the garden. And so, you know, you can always say, well, wow, I wonder what would have happened if Adam hadn't done it. You know, if it had just been Eve. But he was, you know, right there with her. you know, through the whole process. You know, we like to pick a poor old Eve and everything here, but you didn't hear Adam come up here and slap her on the head and say, get away from here. You know, you didn't hear him say, I'm going to tell God on you, snake. You know, you're in trouble. You know, you didn't hear any of those things happen. He was looking to see. We're all drawn. Our flesh is drawn to things that we're not supposed to do. Why? I don't have a clue. But I have a God who knows all things, and I can lean on him, and I can trust in him. And with the less I try to carry of problems, and I'm not talking about being holier than thou. It's after we did the 10-point thing, I think I shared with one of the family where I had stopped at a Whataburger right outside of Dallas, Texas, late at night. I'd been all day and hadn't had nothing to eat. And I pulled up here, and here, it never fails late at night when you're in a 24-hour place. Here comes this guy, and he starts talking about he wished he had some food and stuff. And then finally, I was listening kind of with one ear, and finally I heard him, you know, he was talking about he needed something for his wife. I thought he was talking about something for him. So, you know, I'm not rich by any means, but, you know, we're talking Whataburger, so I ordered two double cheeseburgers, one for me and one for them. And, you know, then when I got around there, he said, well, she can't even have cheese. And then I realized he wasn't even asking for something for himself. He was really asking for something to take to his wife, that they had been truck drivers and they had had an accident or something and got fired, and they weren't from Dallas area, but the company put them out on the side of the road there in Dallas, and so there they were. And so, you know, I went ahead and I asked them at the window, I said, can you make me another double sandwich with no cheese? And I'm like, yes. And I said, put, you know, two of the sandwiches in one bag, put the other in there for me. And I paid for it. And then I told this guy, I said, you know, I don't know everything about your situation. There's not a lot more I can do, but God bless you, and I want you to know that God loves you. And tears came to that guy's eyes. This totally shocked me. And he says, you know, he said, I used to live for God. And he said, you know, I've been running from God for a long time. I was brought up in a Christian home. And he said, this just sort of reaffirms to me that that's where I need to get my life back in order first. And, you know, there's just those little things that we can do that can be big things for the kingdom. You know, and it had been just real simple for me to say, well, this is just another street bum trying to get some money to go out there and buy a beer or something like this. But he wasn't asking for money. He wanted something to eat. And that was, I think we had just done the show the night before where I was talking about I want to be where people can see that I have that love and compassion for people. And that's the thing that we can do. We don't have to be out there trying to save people. That's not our job. God's the only one that can save from sin. And it's not our place to say we're going to take God and whitewash you with him. That's not exactly how we are the vessel where people can reach in and get his love. We're to be that salt, that's to be the seasoning and the keeping, you know, of people's lives. And it's not to be to where we, you know, beat on them with a sledgehammer or something like that. But there again, you have this two-fold thing, the man and the spiritual part of us. And it's a war we battle with daily, you know. I sit there and I did that where I gave the man the sandwich, but then I also kind of took it upon myself to remember to pray for him, you know, for 3 or 4 days. I remember to keep him at the forefront of my mind to pray for them, that what that was going on in their life. And so, you know, there is things that we can do on a physical level as far as helping people. But how much more as Christians can we do on a spiritual level? There is a warfare. There is this thing to where there's principalities and powers. You know, I think that's kind of like maybe what my cousin was talking about, where God has given them little dominions there. But it's not just God gave them dominion. I think it's what Blog Talk Mom said. I think man, because of sin, gives them dominions. I think when you go to places where there's a lot of these XXX video stores and things like that going on, I think in those areas that there's going to be demons who have authority over certain lusts and things that are there that's going to attack people that come into those areas. You know, where as a child of God, we can go into those areas and not be affected of it if we've got on, you know, everything that our armor and everything that God's given us to be protected. But it is so sad to see what sin has done to this world. When you get to really thinking about it, and you thought, wow, you read about some of the Christian principles and everything that come along, and then even after that, we've talked about war before. And even through the Bible, you read about wars. And so it's a constant struggle between the spiritual man the moral issues of what's right and wrong, and then the spiritual things of what God says what's right and wrong. And it's one of those things that I think that's why Paul said that, you know, he struggled, you know, for the mark. You know, he ran the race with patience. It's one of those things to where it's going to be a constant struggle because we need that process, as Joy said, to help us be better than what we are. And I went off on a tangent there, didn't I?
That was good. I was going to mention, too, tonight at the clubhouse with the children, we had 16 children, and we had refreshments. And then at the end, I was going to give them some apples to take home with them. It doesn't sound like that'd be very complicated, but some of them hid more than one apple. Some took one apple and hid that apple and began to want another apple when they already had an apple. Some of them started crying because they didn't get the right color apple. One had red, one, you know, had red and green apples. It's amazing, you know, I was just watching the different reactions to what could have been a very pleasant thing. It was not pleasant. The choices that we make, that people make, what influences those reactions that I saw with those children. I thought that was very fascinating, but I don't think it's probably, it might not be that different than people in the world that can't really be grateful for what they have, for reaching for what they don't have, and so afraid that someone else maybe is going to get something that they don't have or more than they have. And then I think suffering is a very sobering thing. It brings you to a maturity and a wisdom that you are grateful. You're very grateful. Just to have a night sometimes that there's just no pain, you know, that you're very, very grateful. To be able to see a sunrise, just the things that really, really matter become much, much more important after you've suffered.
Yeah. It's hard, like you said, too, you know, sometimes we're thankful because we see people less fortunate than us. And then, you know, that's not really, you know, I mean, it's good that we're thankful when we see those things. But is that really the feeling we should be having at that point? You know, it's just, it makes you kind of look inside yourself. You know, when I'm suffering, yeah, I kind of sometimes like, you know, why me, Lord? You know, why does this happen to me? And, you know, why am I having to suffer? Why am I going through this and everything? It's just, you know, the Bible says to give thanks to God in all things. And that's easier said than done. But when I try to apply that, when I start counting my blessings, yeah, I got a job that keeps me away from home I'm not happy with. You know, I'm out here working sick right now. But I thank God that he's given me the strength to be able to do this job, that with my lack of range of motion, that I've not hurt anybody or hurt myself. So I'm able to perform this job and I'm making a living in a time when people don't have jobs. You know, you got to look at the positive part of it to realize that God never promised he was going to make everything easy for us.
Right.
He just promised, you know, he didn't say he'd give us what we want. He lets us know he's going to give us what we need. And, you know, it's kind of like the little kid is having to take casserole before he goes to bed. That's not really what he'd rather have, a spoonful of sugar with maybe some vanilla flavoring or something mixed in with it or something like that. You don't want casserole. But I think that that's why God kind of classified us as his children. It's like, guys don't really have a clue. You know, I see all this. I understand all this. But I, like you said, I am touched by what you're going through.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that I take joy in this or what's going on here. I'm not happy that sin came into the world. You know, I'm not pleased that this process is there, but I made a way of escape so you don't have to worry about that being the power that takes you to the grave to where you're totally separated from God forever. I made a way to make it where you can have life and life more abundant. I'm there to give you hope in a world where there seems like there is no hope. And that's one of the things, Stella has a saying, and she says that the more things change, the more they seem the same, or stay the same. And in listening to the old classic radio shows and everything, I can see it's the same thing. It's just become a little more graphic. it's become a little bit more, trying to think what the word would be, it's become worse with time. And I kind of think, okay, you know, why is this happening? And, you know, it's, why is it to where, you know, and it's amazing. In the 1940s, they talked about things about hate. There was commercials that they used to play on the radio and on television about hate. I didn't know that. They were talking about that you should not judge someone because they are different because of race, creed, or nationality, you know, that's here in this country. And then I got thinking, well, wow, we had all the immigrants that were here during that time, too. It wasn't just, you know, there wasn't tons of American. I don't know how many people's in the United States right now. But, you know, they were talking about not being able to have certain foods because of war efforts and things. Because everything was so apart, so far from each other. Grandpa talking about driving trucks across the desert. There was, you know, it was really going across the desert. There was nothing out there, you know, for miles and miles and miles. There's still wide open spaces out there. But you know that within time that you're going to need to get to a service station, there's going to be service stations, truck stops, restaurants, and things that, you know, they didn't have back then. You know, it was not interstate. It was two-lane. It wasn't the Route 66 or whatever it was. And so, but the same problems that we're having now were the same issues that they had then. And then you look to the 60s where race became more of an issue. And then you look at the 70s to where all of a sudden it seemed like that kind of leveled off a little bit up to where we are right now. And, you know, you think, wow, we're finally past that. We've elected an African-American president. And then I was amazed at how much hatred came out from people that I don't know if it was fear because of some of the things that people have talked about what they feel about Obama because of his name. It amazes me that people talk about, you know, Muslim as being a race. They don't realize that, you know, that has to do with being a religious faith. You know, I was like, it just goes back to the thing to where you can't keep doing the same things over and over and expect something different to happen. And so I really like where we did the thing where we did our top 10 because Joy has been talking to me forever about empowerment. And I heard the words and I heard what she said, but I really didn't comprehend it until I started putting it in action with that. And it's the same thing. We can either empower the things of sin in our life and in our area and in our contacts and in family and people around us, or we can get together and we can empower the spiritual things of God, because no matter how much power sin has, as Blog Talk Mom says, God's power blows it away. It's just, it's like it doesn't exist. We're getting down to the end of our show here.
We definitely need to bring our new switchboard operator on and let her get a little more practice talking.
All right.
She doesn't like to jump in, she said in the chat room. It's harder for her to jump in. So, Starla, we're giving you a big opening.
Okay, we got 2 minutes left. So you guys chat away.
Was it fun? Did you enjoy doing it?
Yeah, I think I'll get the hang of it if my computer will. It keeps on, the screen disappears. That scares me.
That is scary. I've had that happen. I know exactly. It's like panic, isn't it?
Yes.
You're supposed to be doing something, and then everything just kind of disappears. But always remember that while Bill's mic is automatically on, sorry, Wild Bill, for doing this housekeeping, you want to...
Okay. I want to announce that next week's show is going to be Are We Our Brother's Keeper? And to kind of follow on with some of the things we talked about here.
Are you trying to say I'm your keeper?
You are. You're to keep me. And I want to thank Joy for the wonderful job she's been doing. We're going to miss her for this 6 weeks while she's gone.
Very much.
That seemed heartfelt. Well, hopefully I'll still be able to call in at least some of the time.
Well, we definitely need you back on here doing that because you really got a lot of insight. And plus, you got to keep up waving the Obama flag.
Yep. For now, Starla will have all the power so we can turn that tide of pro-Obamaism that the show has had.
That will be a wonderful thing.
That'll keep you motivated to learn how to do it, won't it, Starla?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, I appreciate everybody for calling in, and we will have you next week. And remember, you can go to the blogtalkradio.com/yourplace and backslash, and you can listen to the archives of the shows. And Lord bless y'all. We'll be back with you next week.